This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وبعد, respected brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. I would like to discuss with all of you today a very, very important aspect of our deen. A very important thing that a lot of people ask about. A lot of people ask about wadifa, dua, amal. On a regular basis, people ask imams, scholars, can you tell me a really good wadifa for this, or tell me a wadifa for that? I mean, me personally as well, I get so many people on a regular basis asking for wadifa, for some kind of dua, for this thing to happen or that thing to happen. I've got a driving exam test. Can you tell me a wadifa? I want to get married. Can you tell me a wadifa? I have an interview. Is there a wadifa for an interview? Etc. etc. On a regular basis. Like, for some people, deen is just about just a list of wadifas. And, scholars basically are there just to provide wadifa. So I want to explain in detail, and inshallah, if you bear with me, understand this topic properly in terms of what is wadifa, what is the difference between wadifa and a dua, and sometimes people like to use the term amal. What is all of this? And to have a good, balanced understanding about this issue. Now, there is no hiding the fact that as humans, we all want good in this world as well as in the next world. This is why the Quranic famous dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh, our Lord, give us good hasana, give us good in this life and give us good in the next life. Basically, that's all we want, every one of us. We want good in this life and we want good in the next life. But remember, we should want more good for the next life, because this life is a combination of trials, tribulations and also good. And the next life, we don't want it a combination of, punishment. May Allah protect us all. Ameen. We want just bliss and good. So we should really focus more for the good of the next life. But there's nothing wrong in wanting good for this life. And this is why this dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً, oh, our Lord, give us good in this life and good in the next life. So this is what everybody wants, basically. And there's nothing wrong in having this desire, this want, that we want protection, we want health, we want wealth, we want security, we want goodness, we want peace, we want, we want to avoid difficulties and hardships and illnesses and sicknesses, etc., for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our family members. Nothing wrong with that. However, the thing is that many of us want a quick fix. We want something unique and a quick fix, an easy something, like someone can give us some kind of a magic potion. So if there's any imam or scholar or somebody who shows himself to be some kind of a spiritual healer or sheikh or whatever, and if anyone says that, look, I'll give you the most powerful wadifa or the most powerful dua, like all your needs are fulfilled, I've got a special thing, like everybody will run to that person. On YouTube, if someone just puts up like something like the most powerful or some unique dua, that if you read, you will never get troubles. I mean, that in itself, the claim that you will never get a trouble, I mean, that's wrong. Because if there was something like that, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never had endured in his life hardships and difficulties. He was hungry for days and weeks on end, and he would put bricks on his stomach. So he could have just read a wadifa for hunger to go away. Dua can be made. So that in itself, that you will never ever have hardships, that's a wrong claim. But anyone who promises to give like some unique something, like read this or read that, lots of people, because there's a need and people want goodness, people want health, people want protection and security and risk and things like that. So a lot of us actually want a short, quick, easy fix, like some kind of some magic potion that someone has. Just give me something that I read it or I do it or something, or I do it for X amount of days and that's it, my problem will be solved. That's what a lot of people want. And they want something unique. You know, I remember there was once a brother, he asked me that, is there some wadifa to read or any dua to read? No, this brother was actually telling me this, that actually he said that there was a YouTube lecture or a clip which said that a very unique wadifa for all your problems to be solved. So the brother said, I actually went on to see. And after a long explanation, the person said that the wadifa is to read Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times after 5-time prayers. And he said, oh, I was so disappointed. I was looking for some unique wadifa, and this person is just telling me, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, which is in the hadith of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, this is called Tasbihat Fatima. He was disappointed because he couldn't find something like read this for 312 times and read this for 643 times exactly at sunrise and read this for 37 times exactly at sunset and make sure you read this over a date and read this for that many times. You know, something like that that sounds good, like some kind of a potion or some kind of a magic thing. That's what people look for, and deen is not about that, which I will explain. So, what is the meaning of wadifa, first of all? Wadifa, I've used it a few times already. For those of you who don't know what actually that word means, it's an Arabic word. They use it in Urdu as well, but it's an Arabic term. Wadifa, literally, linguistically, actually only means something that's done regularly. Anything regular, wadifa. So, like, wadifatul yawm, this is my daily work or my daily job or my daily activity. That's why we say wirdan awrad. Same thing, wadifa. It's like something done on a regular basis. Even your wages is called wadifa because it's a monthly thing that you receive on a monthly basis or a weekly basis. So wadifa is like an act or a job or something done or something said on a regular basis. Dua, we all know what dua means. Some people like to use the word amal. Amal in Arabic means just an action. So like, because there's a few things that you're reading together, you're trying to do an action. Now, regarding this, these du'as or wadifa or whatever you want to say, there are certain du'as or adi'iya, the plural of du'a in Arabic is adi'iya, certain adi'iya, supplications, or certain adhkar, plural of dhikr, certain adhkar, recitations, which are mentioned by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith, like in authentic hadiths, which are established from the sunnah. Okay, even with a particular number sometimes. So many of them are like, generally some of them are what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited on a regular basis. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite this dua in the morning or this dua in the evening, especially the ones adhkarul sabah or adhkarul masa, the ones that he would recite in the mornings, the ones he would recite in the evenings, or the ones that he would recite after his 5-time prayers. Like for example, astaghfirullah, 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 3 times after fard prayers. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, tabarak ya dhal jalali wal ikram, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Allahumma la mani'a lima atayt wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minka aljad. Ayatul Kursi, all of these type of things that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite. These are very, very powerful. Actually, if someone makes a habit of these, adhkar al-sabahi wal-masa wa adhkar ba'd al-salawat al-maktuba, adhkar of the morning and adhkar of the evening and adhkar after the fard prayers, like there's everything in it. You don't really need anything else. There's so much in it. This is why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a habit of reciting this, because it's good for your dunya, good for your akhirah. There's everything in it: protection, rizq, health, security, forgiveness of sins, goodness in this world and goodness in the next world. So many of these adhkar are those that which are established from authentic sunnah, and even a particular number is also mentioned, and that read it 3 times, read it 6 times. There is no doubt that these are really important. And even the number is important. We don't need to know the wisdom. Why three? Why not 3.5? Why not? Why in the morning and why not in the evening or why in the afternoon? Whenever the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, you should recite to them. And whatever number of times he has mentioned that you should recite to them, then we stick with that. Alhamdulillah, there's a hikmah, wisdom, Allah knows best. And these are like, they're very, very, very powerful. So like, for example, there's a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood that Ibn Umar says, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would never leave these supplications in the morning as well as in the evening. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyat fi dunya wal-akhirah. Oh Allah, I ask you for well-being in this world and the next world. Well-being, afiyah. Afiyah is like a really comprehensive word. Protection from hell, from illnesses, sicknesses, there's security in there, there's health in there, there's wealth in there, afiyah. Mental health is in there, everything's in there. That's why there's another hadith, salillah al-afiyah. Ask Allah for well-being. And really, this is why one of the best du'as that we can make or give to others is to ask for afiyah in dunya and akhirah. Like simple du'a. Oh Allah, I ask you for al-afiyah, well-being in this world and next world. It's got everything. It's comprehensive. This is why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his supplications were very, very, comprehensive. So he used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah fi dunya wal akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal afiyah fi dini wa dunyaya wa ahli wa mali. Oh Allah, I ask you for forgiveness and I ask you for al-afiyah, well-being in my deen, in my dunya, in my family, in my wealth. Like so comprehensive, everything's included. Allahumma astur awrati. Oh Allah, shield and hide and conceal my wrongs and ills. Allahumma ihfidhni min bayna yadayya wa min khalfi wa an yamini wa an shimali wa min fawqi. Oh Allah, protect me from ahead of me, from behind me, from the right, from the left, from above, from everywhere. So this is in Sunan of Imam Abu Dawood. So many of these du'as, you see, many of the adhkar of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are so comprehensive that they are beneficial, that they're general for benefits of this life and the benefits of next life as well. Many of them, majority are actually those that give the benefit of both lives, dunya and akhirah. And there's many. We should memorize them. If not, there are many books. I mean, I have many books. There's so many books. I just picked these up. You have many, many books in Arabic and English. A lot of people have gathered adhkar al-sabah wal-masa, the invocations of the morning and the evening, and dua, which are ad'iyah, supplications which are established from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many, many, many books, like even in English you'll find lots, but these are just, I just picked them up right now. So this is why I'm just looking at this. I mean, I have one in here in Arabic, Ad-Dua ul-Mustajab min al-Sunnati wal-Kitab. Du'as which are from the sunnah and the kitab, Quran and sunnah, kitab and sunnah. Many, many du'as here. Certain surahs that he would recite. so there's many. I mean, I just saw this. This is Reflection of Pearls. Actually, a couple of my friends who were studying in Darul Umbari at that time when they wrote this, in Amuddin, Mawlana in Amuddin and Sheikh Abdurrahman ibn Yusuf from White Thread Press. It says Reflections of Pearls, and there's some du'as in there as well. And there's lots of books that you can refer to. So these are general. And also, number sometimes is mentioned. Some more examples I'll give you. Like I said, many benefits are mentioned, but benefits covering both the dunya and akhirah. So like some examples of benefits specifically in this world, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ وَالْمُعَوَّدَتَيْنِ Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas, حِينَ تُصْبِحْ وَحِينَ تُمْسِي in the morning and in the evening, ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتْ three times, recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas three times in the morning, three times in the evening, تَكْفِيكَ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ it will be sufficient for you from everything. Like, it's enough for you. You don't need anything else. This is in the Surah of Imam Abu Dawood. مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَقُولُ فِي الصَّبَاحِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ وَمَسَاءُ كُلَّ لَيْلَةِ anyone who says every morning and every... This is actually very, very powerful. This is a must dua. Every morning, every evening, whoever says This is a hadith, sound, sahih, authentic hadith. Bismillah الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم ثلاث مرات فيضره شيء. Anyone who says every morning, every evening, three times. So now we need to say three because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said three. Which dua? Bismillah الذي لا يضر, in the name of Allah, لا يضر مع اسمه شيء, through His name, with whose name, nothing can harm in the earth, ولا في السماء, and neither in the heavens. وهو السميع العليم, He is the all-hearing and all-knowledgeable. Nothing will harm this person. There's another dua, this is again Sunan of Imam Abu Dawud. Somebody came from the companions to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, O Messenger of Allah, last night a scorpion or something bit me and I couldn't sleep until morning. I had a sleepless night. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that if you had said before going to sleep, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق لم تضرك إن شاء الله. If you recited this dua, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات, I seek protection of Allah and refuge of Allah with His complete words. Through His complete words, I seek protection من شر ما خلق, from the evil of anything that He's created. If you would have said this dua, nothing would have harmed you. So these are like benefits of the dunya. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is giving us ad'iya, supplications, which have general meanings, benefits of the next life, as well as benefits of this life. There's another hadith that the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, whoever recites them at night, kafatahu, they are both sufficient for him. There's a specific one for loans as well. This is a hadith in many books that somebody came to Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and said, I've got a lot of loans. I can't pay off my loan. So please help me. So he said, shall I not? أَلَا أُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتٍ عَلَّمَنِيهِ هِنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Shall I not teach you certain words which I was taught by Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم? لَوْ كَانَ عَلَيْكَ مِثَلْ جَبَلْ دَيْنًا أَضَّاهُ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ. If you had loans which are equal to the Uhud mountain, Allah would make it easy for you to pay them off. And then he said, this is a dua. Say, Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik wa aghnini bifadlika amman siwak. All these duas are found, you can Google them as well. Oh Allah, suffice me with your halal sustenance so that I don't have to go for haram. Wa aghnini bifadlik, and through your blessings, Allah, make me independent from anyone else, amman siwak. So I don't need anyone else, I only need you, O Allah. So these are all supplications, many. I mean, I've just given some examples, but many ad'iyah and adhkar supplications in the Quran and Sunnah which established. And sometimes the number has been mentioned, so we recite them. There is no doubt that these are highly, highly beneficial. Then we also have certain other ones. That was number one, which benefits of the dunya and akhirah. Then we also have the supplications which have been prescribed for regular and daily occasions. Like for example, when you wake up, we recite the dua. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. All praise to Allah who gave us life after giving us death, and we shall be returning to Him. These are really, really, really important. And especially if we know the meanings. We should try to learn the meanings of these. Because the real message and the real khushu' really comes when we actually know the meanings. Even with children, when we teach them the meaning. Like, they read the dua in Arabic and then say the meaning. Oh Allah, you know, you gave me life again in the morning. I went to sleep at night. That was actually death. Ahyana, you gave me life again. You're thanking Allah one more fresh day. One more new day, I'm fresh, a new day, Allah. You've blessed me with another day, I'm breathing. So all of these thoughts should come in the mind. وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ, but one day I shall be going back to Him. And then dua before entering the toilet, into the washroom or the bathroom. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْخُبُثِ وَالْخَبَائِثِ. Oh Allah, protect me from any male and female, you know, shaitan that surround, because they surround filthy places. So this dua with the meaning. When we exit, غفرانك الحمد لله الذي أذهب عني الأذى وعافاني. Oh Allah, I seek forgiveness. And all thanks to Allah who removed the filth from my stomach, we're thanking Allah, because if we are not able to go to the toilet and not relieve ourselves, we become ill and sick and potentially death if anyone can't go to the toilet. So all these supplications, like when it rains, this dua, when you sit in the car or means of transportation, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. All these supplications, and many books have been written on that as well. One book which is quite famous is Radiant Prayers. This is written by Shaykhul Islam Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani Hafizahullah many, many years ago. It's in Urdu as well, but translated into English. A collection of easy prayers from the Quran and Sunnah. So you get a lot of these when waking up, I mentioned, and when changing, when looking in the mirror, when congratulations on someone who's marrying, barakallahu lak wa baraka alayk wa jama'a baynakuma fi khayr. So many, many supplications, regular supplications. So that's number two. The first one, if you remember, the invocations and the du'as, adhkar al-sabah wal-masa, morning, evening, and the du'as which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prescribed for after salah, and with numbers, and in many of them he mentions the benefit of this dunya, and specifically some for the benefit of akhirah, and some specifically the benefit of this dunya. Then we have certain supplications which are in narrations that are weak. Da'if hadiths, narrations which are weak. Some are extremely weak and some are somewhat weak. This number three, and then there's number four, which I want to mention, which are not in any hadith. Okay? But let me finish this off. This, the ones which are in weak narrations. So there's a dua, if you read this, you should read this three times every morning. Inshallah, Allah will give you rizq. Or if you recite this in the evening, seven times, Allah will give you health, etc., etc. Now, with weak narrations, generally, the understanding of the scholars and the muhaddithun is that it's just fada'il, virtuous actions, so you can act upon weak narrations. I mean, if you look at all the books on usul al-hadith, they mention that acting upon weak narrations, this is agreed upon. Imam Nawawi mentions this, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal mentions this, and everybody, that there are, provided certain conditions are met, it is permissible to act upon weak hadith when it relates to virtuous actions. Not to make halal into haram, not to do with aqidah, not to do with fiqh and ahkam and laws, but just virtuous actions, like if you recite this, if you recite that, it's just for virtues and benefits. So you can act upon it, but they mention conditions. One condition they mentioned, that it should not be extremely weak. أَنْ لَا يَكُونَ ضَعْفَهُ شَدِيدًا أَنْ لَا يَكُونَ ضَعْف شَدِيدًا. Shouldn't be extremely weak. So that's why we need to be careful sometimes. If it's like really extremely, extremely weak, like bordering fabrication, then it's best to avoid those. Another very important condition they mention is that أَلَّا يَعْتَقِدَ ثُبُوتَهُ. A person should and must realize that this is not firmly established. It's really important because, you know, how we think about things is very, very important. So they must not think that this is firmly established. So they should know that this is a weak narration, not treat it or regard them as though they're in Surah Al-Baqarah. Like Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, and He mentioned this. Now this is really important for people to realize and understand. This is a very, very important condition. To recite it, but know and realize that this is a weak narration. If that's the case with number three, the weak narrations that you must know and realize that it's not established, then we have the fourth and the final one, which is those which are not in any hadith. Now this is the main part. A lot of people, they ask scholars and others about, you know, wadifa. Can you prescribe me a wadifa? Like, I want to get married. Can you prescribe me a wadifa? I have an exam. Is there a wadifa? I have spots in my hands. Is there a wadifa? Now, many times what happens is that many of these wadifa or amal, the things that certain people prescribe, they are not specifically for the thing that you're asking. It's not mentioned anywhere in the Quran or anywhere in the hadith, not even in a weak narration. the actual dua or the actual wording is normally in the Quran and Hadith. So there'll be an ayah of the Quran. وَالْضُحَى وَالْلَيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Read this 7 times. Or read لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Or read تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Some verse of the Quran or some dua which is in the Quran, in the Sunnah or in the Quran. So the dua, the wording is established, but what's not established is, 3 things are not established. So the word itself, the wording is established. It is a dua in the Quran or in the Hadith. But number one, there's nowhere mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah that it's to recite it for the thing that you want to recite it for. So you've got spots, like I've got a rash. Nowhere it's mentioned that if you read this ayah, your rash will go away. So, but they tell you this, that look, read this, your rash will go away. So that's not established. So it's not for that specific need. And the time to read, that's not even mentioned. So somebody might have a rash in their arm and they might go for a wadifa and the sheikh will say that, read just any random, read any dua from the Quran. Like read Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar 14 times. Because sounds good, 14 times. When? 14 times in the morning and 14 times in the evening. Okay? And that's a wadifa, like made up one. So the dua is in the Quran. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. Oh Allah, give us, oh our Lord, give us good in this life and the next life. Rash, getting, you want to remove rash, isn't that a good thing? So that's part of the dua. You say, oh Allah, give us حَسَنَةً فِي الدُّنْيَا. So that's a good thing. But there's nowhere in the Quran or in the Sunnah that this dua to be read for rash, that's not established. Number two, the time to read it. They said read in the morning and read in the evening. That's not established. And number three, the 14 number is not established. So the dua is established, but the thing that you're reading for is not established. The time you're reading is not established. And number three, the number, the X amount of times, that is not established. Okay, now what's the ruling for this? Here we need to have a bit of balance. On one side, before I mention the balance, I'll give you another example that's come to mind. Some people ask for a wadifa, they want to get married. So many scholars say, read this dua. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Read that like 7 times after your fard prayers. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Okay. Now, that's an ayah of the Quran. That ayah is actually in relation to the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he left to Madian, when the enemies were after him, and when he saw the two daughters of the Prophet of Allah, Shu'ayb, peace be upon him, and they were standing away, and they were they wanted to fill water, but they couldn't fill water, so Allah subhanahu, he asked them, مَا خَطْبَكُمَا قَالَتَا لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُصْدَرَ الرِّعَاءَ. There's too many people here. Until they don't go away, we can't go and fill water. وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. And our father can't come because he's too old. So, فَسَقَى لَهُمَا. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he helped them. He filled the water for both of them. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِ. And then it was really, basically, very, very hot and very sunny, and he was very tired. And the Mufassirun commentators mentioned that he was very hungry as well. Like, he only used to have leaves that he would eat. For days on end, he was eating leaves, like, really hungry. So he, ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِ. He took shade under a tree. The tree is not mentioned in the Quranic verse, but the Mufassirun say that under a tree. So when he went there, after resting, because actually he put a lot of effort in trying to help them, he's quite ill, he's quite weak, he's not eaten a lot for many days. So he read this, he said, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya. Oh my Lord, whatever good that you give to me, you reveal to me, you stand down upon me, lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin, any good, faqir, I am in need of it. He actually did 2 things, thanked Allah and made a dua. So, oh Allah, you have been giving me good all this time. And one of the things that The commentators mentioned that, you know, when he found the shade, he was actually thanking for the shade. That you went under a shade. Alhamdulillah, I've got the shade. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayr. I mean, I needed the shade. Oh Allah, I'm thanking you. But also making a dua that I want more, give me rizq, give me food, I'm hungry. And maybe get me married as well. And then after that, the story went on that when the two daughters went back, and then Shu'ayb alayhi salam sent them back to go and collect him, and then gave him a job. And so it could be for job, it could be for... And then got one of his daughters married off to him. So all of these thoughts can come in mind that, look, this is a dua. So that's an example of a wazifa, basically just made up like that. It's not in the Quran that if you recite this dua, you will get married. It's not for marriage. There's no suratul nikah. There's no suratul nikah, chapter on marriage. And there's no verse saying, O you who believe, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا أَرَدْتُمُ النِّكَاحَ فَقُولُوا رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. There's no ayah. Oh, you who believe, if you want to get married, read رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. So, this is a typical type of wazifa. And there's so many examples. You know, I don't know if this is quite common, but since childhood I was told this wazifa. If you lose something, recite وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, or recite Surat Ad-Duha 7 times and you'll find it. So I used to always do that. I used to lose my pen when I was a child. Surah Ad-Duha. وَالْضُحَى وَالْلَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And you know, I read it 7 times. Now, this surah, there's no way in the Quran or in the hadith that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that if you lose your iPhone or you lose your pen or you lose something, then read this. But in there, because there's a verse, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا, Allah found you, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ضَالًا. You have to be very careful how you translate this word. Not misguided. Allah found you unaware or lost. Lost in terms of Allah, you didn't know about the rules of Sharia. فَهَدَى, so Allah informed you of them, guided you, told you of them. So because that's mentioned, some say you lost your pen, so maybe you could read that as well 7 times. You know, it's some kind of like significance or resemblance or something. So these are all what we call wada'if, plural of wazifa, where the specific need that you have, it's not for that, that's not established, and neither the time to read is established, and neither the X amount, the number, is established. Sometimes it's a combination. Like, you know, a lot of times they'll say, look, if you want your daughter-in-law to be a nice daughter-in-law, then read every day after Dhuhr 3 times salawat on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then 2 times surah Idha Ja'a Nasrullahi wal Fath, then 3 times salawat again, Allah Sayyidina Muhammad, and then after that read 2 times. It's a mixture, like a collection of things. It's just made up. Now, when we say made up, what is this made up? I'll explain this to you. This is what we call based on experience. Tajraba. So this is number 4 I'm talking about. The first one was those established from the Quran and Sunnah. Number 2 were those established from the Quran and Sunnah, but the ones that we recite when we wake up in the morning, go to sleep, sit in the car, transportation, etc., going, entering the washroom, exiting. Number 3, the ones from weak narrations, and I'm talking about number 4. So these number 4 are based on experience. They're not established, but they're based on experience. What do we mean by experience? Experience means like there was some Muslim pious person, someone who had a headache. So he had a headache. So what he did was that he read a dua from like, he had a headache. So after Fajr Salah, he just put his hand here and he just read, Allahumma qawwini fi badani, Allahumma qawwini fi badani. Like a dua which he knows from the Sunnah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. Oh Allah, give me well-being. So he went like this. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. Oh Allah, give me, oh Allah, I ask you to give me well-being. Putting his hand here. And he did that like for 7 times. And his headache disappeared. Next time, after 3 months, again, he got a headache. So he said, last time, you know, I made dua to Allah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. And I put my hand on my head. And I said it 7 times in my headache disappeared. Allah cured me. Let me try that again. So he tried again. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah, etc. Now that dua is established, but not for headache per se. And the 7 times is not mentioned. And neither after Fajr is mentioned. But he just did that. And he helped him. And then the third time, and he helped him again from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, one day, his student in class said, Sheikh, you know what? I've got a real bad headache. So he said, shall I tell you wadifa? You know what? Just tomorrow after Fajr, just put your hand on your forehead and say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah 7 times. So he did it, and his headache as well kind of disappeared. So this is what we call based on tajraba, experience. This fourth one is based on experience. It's nowhere in the Quran. The actual dua is, but not the time or the X amount of times and what it's for. That is based on experience. The other three things are based on experience. It happened a few times in your life to you. You told someone else, they told someone else, and he helped them as well, and they told someone else, and he helped them. So it's just based on experience. Now, with regards to this, this is really important. Now, what is the ruling for this? I mentioned the ruling for number three, that it's a weak narration. So yes, you can act upon it. But the muhaddithun, they say the condition, أَلَّا يَعْتَقِدَ الثُّبُوتِ, you don't believe that they are firmly established. You know that it's in a weak narration. So number four, from a greater extent, you need to realize when you are reciting this, the number, etc., that you la ya'taqidu thubut, you don't believe and think that this is established in the Quran and Sunnah. You don't treat it in a way that it's established in the Quran and Sunnah. You don't act and behave and deal with it in such a way. You don't spread it in such a way that it's like people start believing that it's in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 33. That's really, really important. See, we need a balance. On one side, some people will say it's bid'ah, akhi hayakallah, this is bid'ah, finish. Like anything which is specifically not mentioned in a hadith, it's like complete bid'ah. Some people say that. I feel that that's an extreme approach, like it's just completely bid'ah. So that's an extreme. But then another extreme on this side is that you recite it or you tell people of this wadifa and you deal with it in such a way, you might not say it clearly that look, it's established in the hadith. If you do that, then that's like major haram. If it's not in the hadith and you say, look, oh, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, recite this 7 times after Fajr, then that's haram. That's like a major sin because you're lying. You're making a fabrication against the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if you're not saying that, and nobody says that, most people they won't say that, they'll just say it's a wadifa. But what are the public understanding? If you don't say that it's not established, you don't say nothing, generally people start believing that this is something like kind of really established. It might be like, I've come across cases where somebody thought that it was actually in the Quran. So this disclaimer, I personally feel is a must in the middle. You say, look, this is a dua. This is neither in a verse of the Quran. This dua is whatever it is in the Quran and Hadith. But to recite it for your headache or for your rash or for your need, for your interview, that's not established. Neither is the time that I'm telling you to recite is established. Neither the amount of times I'm telling you is established. However, it's an experience. Experience is an experience. So, like, take it easy. Don't over-exaggerate. That's why this balance is very important. They're not bid'ah, but do not exaggerate and do not deal and behave with them in a way that people start feeling and thinking and believing that they are totally established. So balance is very, very required with these different wada'if which scholars prescribe. So we shouldn't overhype them to the point that people start treating them as though they are established from the sunnah. And then we should also realize a lot of people think that there's a wadifa for everything. We don't have a wadifa for everything. Like people say, okay, my phone's lost, give me a wadifa. This has happened, give me a wadifa. Like you don't have for everything. Like there's not, the Quran and sunnah is not filled with just wadifas for every single thing that goes wrong in our lives. And then we need to, finally, to end with this, we need to remember, I just remembered a story before the last point, that, you see, what it is part of the last point. What really helps is that really turning to Allah, like generally, you know, if the whole life is based on Islam, if we are offering our 5-time prayers, and, you know, when we are reciting a wadifa or we are making a dua, it's with khushu', it's with concentration, we show, you know, like a need towards Allah. The most powerful of wadifas or dua supplications, they can be in our own words. So like if you've got a rash, rather than try to find that someone tells you read this 7 times in the morning and, you know, 6 times in the evening, If there's nothing specifically about a rash, then you just, in your own words, you cry to Allah, you know, after fard prayers, especially du'as accepted. Between Asr and Maghrib, du'as accepted. Iftar time, du'as accepted. Whenever it's mentioned in the hadith that there's a great likelihood for du'a to be accepted, at those times, and say, oh Allah, you know, talk to Allah in your own words. It could be in English, it could be in any language, Chinese if you want. Oh Allah, you know, this is a rash. I ask you for health. And oh Allah, take this rash away from me. Take my stomach ache away from me. Allah, give me cure from my headache. The best of du'as are the ones that are in one's own words, expressing a person's need with ultimate humility, ultimate devotion, shedding tears, crying, begging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we whole life is based on we pray our five time prayers, we make du'a after the five fard prayers. And then the incident I remember, and I've written about this once, that someone once asked me that they said that they wanted to get married. Can you prescribe me a wadifa? So I said, okay, I will inshallah. But then I just asked, you know, like as an incidental question. For them, it was incidental, but I know what I was asking this for. So I said, how's things, everything? And it was a sister, I remember, on the phone in the office here. So then I said, are you offering your five-time prayers? She said, I try to. I do two times, three sometimes, but, you know, I'm a bit negligent. And then I said, okay, inshallah, you should try to pray them, etc. And then just asked one or two other questions. I said, sister, do you wear a hijab when you go out? So no, I'm not wearing hijab yet. So then anyway, I said, yeah, let's come back to the question that you wanted to get married. I think it was for that or something. I can't remember. Many, many, 10, 12 years ago. Give me a wadifa that I will find a spouse. So I said, look, along with that, you really have to take the means as well. That's really important. But I'll give you a very special, strong wadifa. Now, you can make it up because, you know, many of these, if they're all based on experience, I know some scholars who just make it up. There's one sheikh I know. He said, people just come to me so many times. Give me a wadifa. I just make anything up, like any dua. Not the dua is not made up, but I just say, I'll read this like at 3 o'clock every day. Just like anything, just made up. At least you will be reciting a dua. They might think it's in the Quran, but that's why I feel that you should tell them that it's not in the Quran and Sunnah. So that long time ago, I said, look, there's a special dua. And I don't know which dua came to my mind. I said, this dua can only be read after Fajr Salah. Yeah, because she said she's struggling with Fajr. So I said, this can only be read 7 times or 14 times after Fajr prayers. Straight after you do Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. 14 times, like, don't delay it, straight after Salah. You know when you say don't delay it, like straight after Salah, it looks a bit special, right? So my idea was that at least with this dua, inshallah, she'll wake up and pray her Fajr Salah. And maybe I said to her as well, I can't remember correctly now because it's been many, many years, maybe 15 odd years. I said, you know, there's another special dua that it can only work. You have to hold a hijab, a scarf, and you have to read it 3 times and blow on this corner and 3 times on this corner. And every time you go out of your house for 6 months, you have to put it on your head. And she did that properly. You know, at least it's going to make her wear the hijab. So some people do that. If there's another need, like if you think that there's another benefit of them doing something of deen. But this is why deen is about making sure our whole life, the best of wadifa, to end, the best of wadifas and du'as is to offer our 5-time prayers with devotion, khushu' khudu, make du'a to Allah, not forget the adhkar of the masa and sabah, daily morning and evening prayers with khushu, with devotion, and the du'as that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the sunnah, protection from everything, recite regular Quran recitation, staying away from sins, and du'a in your own words, especially after fard prayers, like I said, and then remembering and keeping in mind that this dunya is not trouble-free. Trials and tribulations and illnesses, sicknesses do come in this world as well. And the real, real life is the next life, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khair, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.